The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, Me, and Advice Show from the Modern Era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your millest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweetest baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
And today we are celebrating the discovery of a new mammalian.
The launch. Can we call it today is the much anticipated release.
You've seen the trailers, and today we are finally ready to launch
this
a new
is the
mammal.
Street date. This is the mammal street date.
A lot of people have been asking, what's this mammal gonna do for me? Is he gonna produce lots of sweet low-cal gluten-free milk that I can buy at the Whole Foods? Maybe. We haven't drank this bitch's milk yet.
Will he be Bluetooth compatible?
So before the program, we were discussing different topics that we could discuss in this opening segment, and I said there was a new mammal in the mix. Griffin had heard about it. Travis hadn't.
Nope.
At which point he insisted he didn't want to hear about it because he wanted to guess. Now, just to be clear, there's an undiscovered species of animal unknown to humanity, and Travis is going to Travis should
be like an epidemiologist or something. Like, Travis, cancer. Can spit some fire at us. I'm going to start you with cancer, and let's just see what you got. Let me guess.
Hold on. All that
have you tried?
I just need one bit of information.
Okay.
Where was it discovered?
It was discovered in Ecuador or Colombia.
I think.
Let me mention real quick before we say anything else. This is a rare evening recording, and at least 2/3 of the podcast have been drinking, so it's going to be a good one. But just for some context there.
That was one of us just blew in our breathalyzer. Yeah. And that was like,
don't drive. That's the chime that stands for funny.
Keys, please. Hand them to me.
Record.
You're not good to go.
I am going to say a barefooted monkey.
You're not so far off, although I guess you are super far off, because we lowered the phylum down to mammal.
I'm going to say, when I say barefooted, not like it's not wearing shoes. I mean, like, it's a monkey with, like, B-E-A-R feet.
Did you get that spelling
with
right?
With bear-like feet.
What we got is the Olinguito. It is a raccoon with the face of a teddy bear.
All right, first of all.
Wait,
first
fuck
of all,
you.
We have been getting sold a fucking false bill of goods all day by the Christian Science Monitor. That's like, oh, look at this adorable thing. I don't want to throw shade at this new mammal, but I'm not really feeling it. Like, it's not fair. It's not all that cute. And look at those fucking claws.
I think I'm like,
I'm afraid of this. Hold on.
So into the Olinguito right now. Travis, let me know what you think, because I think it's fully.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Christ.
You're scared?
Sounds like Travis on
look
my
his
side.
Look at his eyeballs.
Are you kidding me?
That's not the face of a teddy bear. That's the face of the devil.
It's you the know face what? Of a teddy bear that wants to kill you.
Yeah, and it's the face of a teddy bear that goes, I'll leave me alone with your kids.
Like it'll in my unproduced sequel to Child's Play, Cubby's Play, where a teddy bear comes to life.
I hate to be disparaging against any mammal, especially one that, like, a mammal really needs a few months on the market for people to, like, really put the wheels to the road, really test this mammal out. But I think this Olinguito's got a butter face.
He does. Could they not have picked one picture where he wasn't staring dead-eyed into the camera?
It does make you wonder how he missed it for so long. He is literally looking directly at the camera. And what we have two pictures.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
They said it was hiding in plain sight. And you know what? Science, what are we fucking paying you guys for?
Somebody opened, like, their bread cabinet and was like, oh, shit.
Honey, did you remember to feed the Olinguito today? No, let me just... have we fucking filed this dude yet? Honey, have we put him in the encyclopedia yet?
In the scientist's defense, every time you walk past an old linguito, it says, "I'm an eagle." So it's, that does. We have lots of people to help. And
I don't think you're saying the animal's name. You make it sound like a delicious Italian pasta dish.
Olinguito, it's Spanish. It's because it's derived from, it's a smaller version of
John Leguizamo.
What?
That's a Leguizamo.
Someone's playing Guess Who with this podcast, and with that, they just figured out who's drunk.
It's a small version of an Olingo, so an Olinguito, because Ito is the Spanish. Anyway, let's help people.
That's why Judge Lancito means the small judge. Small
judge. Little Lance.
Hello. I would watch a cartoon show called Lil Judge Lancito.
Lil Ito.
Hey, it's my buddy, K-Tito. Anyway. I don't know how to seal the deal on the dance floor. Whether or not I'm a terrible dancer is up for debate, but I have a good time when I'm out on the dance floor by myself or with a buddy. The problem is, when I catch a girl's attention and begin dancing with her, I lose my momentum. Where am I supposed to look while I dance with her? Do I strike up a conversation? Should I ask her if she wants a drink? I just can't seal the deal, and after one song, they all leave. It's from Gmail.
I can answer one of those questions real quick and easy. Do not strike up a conversation.
No, even if you're the best, if you're Savion Glover out on that dance floor, you can't be like, "Hey, sup?" Just stick to the dancing, I think.
So you're from around here? Boom, 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 boom.
You love this jam?
That's like the international language of love is, you know, the salsa.
Also, don't start singing along and stand in place, because I did that for way too many middle school dances, and it does not pay off.
Oh, my God.
That's where, like, I just realized I don't know how to dance, and so I'm just going to kind of groove.
You're like, "Oh, fuck, I'm on this floor. What else can I do to music?" I know.
Going to sing.
I'm already wearing my show choir sequin vest. I wore my show choir sequin vest to homecoming because it's the most formal piece of apparel I own.
Now I never did that in high school, but in middle school, I was what's the opposite of a smooth criminal?
You're a wet bandit.
I was a wet bandit on the dance floor.
I think that's the opposite of a smooth criminal is a middle schooler. I don't think
I was a middle schooler out there, you guys.
Nobody had play, I think.
Do you know that they just discovered that Michael Jackson had a patent on special shoes with a small hook in them that he would hook onto pegs extending up from the dance floor that he would use to do his patented smooth criminal lean. He has a patent on it. There's a patent to Mr. Michael Jackson.
I want
to
lean out. I have this way of leaning. Sure. Hand me my stamp. Doing Ben Franklin proud.
The problem is after that, anytime anyone leans, they owe Michael Jackson $20.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what are you reading? Careful. Fuck. I'll hand you the book and you can see. You just...
Don't bend over. I think a good thing to do is to look at the person, but maybe not in their eyes, but not at their body necessarily. Any features of their body.
Look at their left ear.
Just sort of like you're appreciating their dancing. Like you're nodding like, "Yeah, these are good dances."
Maybe look at their hair with like a slightly disgusted look on your face.
No, don't do that. Like look like a nod like you are dancing. Because I think that's all anybody really wants is they want to know that they're dancing.
And then when the song finishes, that's when you capitalize and say like, "Hey, do you want a drink or something?" Like you don't do it mid-song.
Unless it's the fucking... That's the problem with a great DJ is because if he keeps dropping jams, I'll be out there all night. What if every song he plays, I raise my hands to the ceiling, I'm like, "This is my jam."
Listen, if he's a good DJ, he'll throw a clunker in there every four songs so someone can get some.
And then he sees a love connection happening. He's like, "I'm going to toss on a long play track. I'm going to toss on the Decemberist five-part sea shanty ballad, The Tane, which lasts for 19 minutes. These kids are going to love this shit, and they're going to be out there long enough to like find out everything about each other.
Daniel, did you fire that DJ yet? No, what did he do this time? You're not going to believe it.
He played The Tane. Oh, man. Did he cut out the verse with the creepy little woman singing? No, he left that verse in. 4.5 minutes. 4.5 minutes about cholera. Shit. I love the accordion solo. Did you really? Yeah, it really got the people fucking going.
He just lifts up one cup of his earphones. I can't stop it. It's a cycle. It's a song cycle.
If I stop it at part four, you're not going to get to the part where the sailor redeems himself.
And you'll feel empty inside all night. Do you want
you're
just, that?
Hey, you're not going to get
it. If you're
at
a club, you're feeling empty all inside all night anyway. A lot of times people are just there to dance. You got to remember that. And I think that that's a sacred exchange.
But I was
going to have to know from the dancing. Don't you think you get a good idea from the dancing what the opposite party is there to do?
Like, I don't think of it as like a matchmaking thing, though. I think of it like every time people dance at a wedding or at a club, they are doing it so that they can go home confident in the fact that they just danced.
No, yeah, I agree. I completely agree.
I think that you should walk away just being like, hey, I danced with a stranger. That's a huge win.
That's what I think you're actually, I think some of the hang-up that you might be having is the question you've got in your mind is, how do I transition this dance into like a relationship? And maybe you should just transition it into a dance, like another dance.
Well, that's kind of why twerking was invented, wasn't it? Because it kind of cuts out all the confusion. It cuts out the middleman.
Hey guys, hold on 1 second.
Charles has to go twerk. He has this tick where he can't hear the word twerk without going to fucking twerk.
If I don't twerk on every doorknob in this house, the devil's gonna come in.
Sorry, go on.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I just had to kill like the fucking biggest bug that was running across my floor.
Yeah, likely story. Sure.
Did you kill him with your butt? Did you kill him with your butt in like a rhythmic up and down manner? Did you put on one of Miley Cyrus's new songs and then just like go to town on that bug?
I did.
Okay.
And then we parted as friends. And another word was not said between us.
Yeah, focus on the dancing rather than the relationship building. I think you're going to have a much better time. If something's going to happen, it'll happen, but maybe just focus on the dance. Just have fun.
Yeah.
Just don't worry about a relationship.
I'm going to put some whiskey in this, I think.
How about a Yahoo?
Yes. Oh, no. That was awful.
This Yahoo was sent in by Megan. Thank you, Megan. It's by Jack S., who asks, I'm finally rich. Now what? I've spent all this time working 80-hour work weeks. Is that fucking possible?
Yeah. Yeah, dog. Trust me, it is.
Sydney works those sometimes, too. Used to when she was an intern. Not so much anymore.
I just want to hear for her, folks,
I work as hard as a doctor. Travis works as hard as a doctor.
I've spent all this time working 80-hour work weeks, dealing with coworkers and bosses I despise, and now I finally made my personal goal. What the heck do I do now? I'm already set to tell my boss off, but what comes after? I have no friends. I wanted a relationship, but they never understood that I wanted to get work out of the way while I was still young and physically able to enjoy life. Now I'm alone, and I don't know what I want. I'm not a mean guy. I've just found it hard to be in social situations. What do people usually want? I've never done a lot of things. Never even played a video game. Any suggestions? And how can I get back to dating? Through new friends? The idea of speed dating terrifies me, BT Dubs, so none of that, please.
Coming soon from Bradley Cooper.
Hi, I'm Bradley Cooper.
This sounds like such a setup for a movie of like, he worked so hard, he had no time for a family.
I'm rich.
Wait, this is like 8,000 movies.
I'm rich and super humble, and I have a very good face. What's up? What do I do now? My penis is super great. I've heard lots of great things about my super great penis. I have a Jay Leno-esque amount of cars. What to do? Got a totally open cow? Got a private plane? Stumpers. Can I get one of those books from the library? It's like 30 things to do on a rainy day. Can't open a lemonade stand. Tricky, tricky.
I already got lemonade out of the way.
I already did lemonade. That's how I started.
That's how I got rich. I invented lemonade.
Nothing left to do but drown myself, I guess.
Embrace the sweet cool release penis, of death.
If it weren't for the fact that I'd be robbing the world of this cool penis, I'd do it without
stupid,
hesitation.
Buoyant penis.
It floats to the top of the lake like one of those keychains you put on your
on like keys
that floats. Great metaphor.
What's this fucking guy gonna do?
Maybe play a video game. It sounds like he's got a very specific goal in life.
Listen, sir, hi, it's me, Justin here. if you want to get back in the dating scene, I have a great step one for you. Don't get into video games, because those two, that's not a path to one. The path of one is not a path to the other. These are two very different paths you're staring down the barrel of.
I do, however, I really like the philosophy that he's looking at the world and I got work out of the way. Like, I didn't know you could do that.
I did the work thing.
I didn't know you could compress it all. Like, instead of working, like, 30 years of 40-hour weeks.
Sure.
You can just do, like, 10 of 80.
It's the fucking Minkus career plan, isn't it? Or it's like you graduate high school by the time you're 10. And it's like, now I can just fucking lamp for 5 years until it's time for freshman year. Travel to Europe, see some shit, go to Antigua.
And I think traveling is the only thing you can do, or maybe be a private eye.
Or maybe travel the world using your great riches to, like, solve crimes. I feel like that'd be pretty rewarding. Or, ooh, Thomas Crown it.
What's that mean? I didn't see that particular.
Oh, so rich, needs a thrill.
Yeah, he doesn't feel anything anymore unless he has sex with Rene Russo.
I don't want to pay for, you have to be so... I don't think this guy is like Bruce Wayne wealthy. I think he just doesn't have to sweat the money game.
No. Yeah, I think he's probably
gone. He's rich enough that he has work out of the way.
Right, but if you live a conservative, self-sustaining lifestyle, you can knock that out in like 250 large.
He has basically skipped being an 80-year-old man.
Yeah.
If someone comes to sell him magazines, he's going to tell him he's on a fixed budget. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the lie that this guy has painted for himself.
I mean, you work 80 hours at Arby's long enough, you will have amassed a surprising amount of wealth in beef.
They're not going to pay overtime at beef. Arby's. They're not going to let anybody work.
No, there's no way they're going to get approval.
Yeah, I guess it's true.
They got to reach up to Mr. Arby and be like, hey, can we work Timmy longer? No.
I really don't know what you would do. I mean, you got swimming the work it. Thing out of the way. Wouldn't you? I would probably read a lot or say I'm going to read a lot and probably play video games.
Swimming in it is like, there's nothing grosser you could fill a pool with. I'll go ahead and say if it was human excrement, you would at least know who it had been processed by. You would at least know the source. Money is like 100 different people's germs.
I'm gonna jump back to say that you think poop is better when you know who it comes from.
That's never been a consolation to me.
Oh, this is Steve's? Oh,
Steve's poop? Yeah. No problem.
That guy eats right.
He seems clean. He eats a lot of kale.
I've seen what he eats. He's treating himself good. All right.
This question is either a perfectly concentrated story of how wealth is meaningless and how true happiness is found in love and from everyone else, or it's a story about how wealth is the only important thing, and then once you get that, everything else is pretty much bullshit.
May I also throw this out?
Okay.
Is it possible that this is written by like a 24-year-old kid who has like $30,000 in the bank?
That's goes, a fucking rich. Shit. How old is the kid?
He's like 24.
You may as well have just said he has infinity dollars in his super bank.
That's what I'm saying. And he goes, I'm rich.
He fucking is in this economy.
Think of how many Biebers that could buy him. Here's the reason I think that. It's from the context clues of saying that he's ready to, like, tell off his boss.
Yeah.
It's like, no 40-year-old responsible man with $250 million in the bank is like, fuck my boss.
You're saying he's a 30K...
I'm going to tell J.P. Wentworth where to stick it.
I got your cash settlement right here.
When I was in my mid-20s, I got my first full-time job it was my first full-time job. It was my first salaried position at the Ironton Tribune. Mm-hmm. My starting salary was $19,000. And I remember looking at that number thinking, how am I going to spend $19,000?
And you realize that it was the answer to that question was you will spend it as if your life depends on it.
Right.
Because it very, the very, answer turned very out to be does.
Food.
You will spend it instantly is the answer.
Right. We have a very special guest question from a celebrity guest question, which we do, well, never. We did
pretty
it once.
Regularly.
Pretty regularly. Basically, from a friend of the show, I guess, Jeff Cannata.
You had to have that, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess he's a friend of the show. I mean, now he's a friend of the show, certainly. Our friend, my dear friend, and soon to be yours, I'm sure, Jeff Cannata, formerly of Totally Rad Show, soon to be of Newest, Latest, Best, his upcoming program that I think everybody's looking forward to. And he's got a question for us, and I want to share it with you right now.
Hello, Justin, Travis, and Griffin. I come to you because I love your show, I value your advice, and because Justin generously contributed cash money to my Kickstarter campaign. Let's be honest, it's mostly that third one. But I come to you at a giant crossroads in my life for some major, major advice. As you may know, I love loving things. I love loving love. I love love, and I love women. But there is one particular woman I am in love with, and I want to ask her to marry me. Luckily, she doesn't listen to the internets. She's not aware of it having audio yet. So don't tell her, but tell me, how should I do it? As guys in various states of married and unmarried status, how should I do it? What will guarantee her having said yes and my eventual happiness and marital bliss? I look forward to hearing your question. I'll take it off the air. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Jeff, it's a fine question. It's one we've all dealt with. By we all, I mean the three of us.
No, I think everybody at some point in their life has proposed to some.
And the answer, Jeff, is as big and showy and flashy as possible.
Go on YouTube and search wedding proposal must see, like, share, subscribe with friends. And then see which one has the most hits and then try and recreate it. Now, I know you're wondering, how am I going to get 50 people into Disney World on a budget? And the answer is smuggling. You got to track down the guy in the Jeremy the Jackal suit, which is everyone's favorite Disney character, and then use him.
He was the bully in the Goofy movie, you guys.
Yeah.
He's in Bedknobs and Broomsticks, too. He's still knobbing.
You get him, and you get... It's going to cost you quite a few Disney pesos, which are only usable in Epcot. And you're going to get 50 people in there. You got to do a little... what they call a flash mob.
Pick a Bruno Mars song at random.
Pick any, throw a dart at a Bruno Mars CD. Now throw that CD away and get a working one, because you fuck that one up.
Throw a dart at Bruno Mars. Call your lawyer. You're gonna.
If you hit him, it's six more weeks of winter.
There's got to be a better. We have to develop some sort of meteorological technology.
Well, just let Bruno Mars make his mediocre music.
Hey, fuck off. Who the fuck are you?
Highly danceable.
That is Ted Danceable. You leave me alone. What?
That's not a thing.
Ted Danceable? Yeah, everyone says that.
Don't do any of the things that we've said so far for the past 3.5 years. Honestly, I don't think there's a person alive that has ever received a proposal and gone there weren't nearly enough people watching. It's gotta be intimate, right? It's gotta be I don't know, 15, 20 people tops watching you.
So you gotta gotta charge for admission and really capitalize on this.
A lot of that depends though on how likely you think she is to say yes. Because if you're the man or woman in your life, you're gonna propose to them, you are worried that maybe they may be hesitant. If you put them on blast like that with 30 to 40 people, then I think that they're not going to, and there's social pressure at that point.
Yeah.
Ooh, wait till you have a big public fight and then pull out the ring.
Why?
Because it's really going to cancel out all of the fight that just happened.
You're saying wait for Wait till you fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, really bad.
Yeah, and, like, get into it and just express all your anger in the situation. But then, boom, engagement ring. Right? Because then it's like all that time that just happened before that didn't happen, didn't exist.
Because
it's wedding time.
God, women are so fucking dumb.
Look
at this. Hey, shut up.
I'm going to say that women could pull that move on a dude, too.
Look at this.
I want to say women and men both get proposed to. It's 2013. And I'm saying people getting proposed to are dumb, not women.
Okay. I'm judging all of humanity, Griffin. I hate everyone.
There was just like a 3-in-a-row chain of us putting each other on blast. It's just like, hey, that thing you said was insensitive, and in pointing that out, I'm going to say a somewhat insensitive thing. Like, oh, shit. Insensitivity Ouroboros.
This is an insensitive snake eating its own tail.
Jeff, privacy of your own home.
Just think about, when I was going to propose to Rachel and I was trying to think of the way to do it, for a while, my fucking plan, she was out of town and I was going to do it the night she got back from her business trip. And when she got back, I was going to pick her up in the airport in a limo and then like do it there. And it's going to be romantic with champagne. We were going to play her favorite Bruno Mars song on the CD player.
Bruno Mars would be driving.
The limo driver would actually be that great guy who drives the limo in How I Met Your Mother. And it was going to be perfect. And then I remembered, like, I've never been in a fucking limo in my whole goddamn life. And I don't want like some stranger that I paid to be there, like, like getting his jimmies off in the front seat while I profess my eternal love. You know what I mean?
Did you say getting his jiggies off?
Getting his jigglypuffs off in the front seat while I'm doing my stuff.
No, I agree, Griffin. And the point Griffin's trying to get to in a roundabout time-killing way.
Don't let your driver masturbate in the front seat.
Don't let anybody masturbate.
If there's someone masturbating at your proposal, you dumb fucked up somewhere.
Let me go back over the plan. Pick her up in the limo. Yeah, I did that. Get her at the airport. Mm-hmm. Cool. Let driver masturbate. Write it down, number three.
Pay driver extra to masturbate. Let me just scratch that off the list.
I think you actually need you need to consider the person and what they want. There's not a blanket answer we can give you. Like
maybe they don't want to masturbate in the front seat.
It
means
a lot to Sydney to have friends and family around, so I did it at New Year's when there was a bunch of people there. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, honestly, with Teresa, like, both of our schedules were so hectic, but we just desperately wanted to be engaged, so it was a very casual thing. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I got you flowers, and I love you, and let's do this wedding thing we've been talking about for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably, I don't know who you are, you could probably do better than let's do this wedding thing.
No, I got down on one knee, and I did a whole thing, but, like,
we're both busy right now. Let's just.
I don't know about you, but let's take a wedding nap.
Listen, you're my sun and my moon or whatever, what the shit ever, and man, I don't know, let's do this wedding thing.
Fuck it.
You're the moon of my moon, sun of my stars or something. I don't know, I don't watch Game of Thrones that closely, but you're something or whatever. Marriage?
Thanks, Jeff. Let's do this.
Let's do this wedding thing. Let's do this fucking money thing and get paid. Hey, I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
Ring on a dildo.
A ring on a dildo, Travis. That's exact. You took the words clean out of my mouth.
Okay.
Hey, diddle, put a dildo in the middle.
Okay, there were like 10 words that I hated in the past minute.
Griffin may hate masturbation toys, but I am deep, deep into them. You're like a sex flesh pussy stroker.
Would you say that they're deep, deep into you?
You can get deep, deep into a firm pussy and ass masturbator. Oh. That's not me being vulgar. That's a product name.
That's trademark. Copyright.
That's trademark.
Firm pussy. Firm
pussy. ExtremeChase.com is your home for all of this delicious sexual paraphernalia. It doesn't matter if it looks like a creature from Labyrinth. Get it and fuck it.
It doesn't matter if it looks like David Bowie. Put your dick in it.
No, hold on. Who's that?
You could probably get David Bowie's butthole as a sex toy. I bet. You can get an exact replica of Sasha Gray's, and this is a direct quote from their website, amazing pussy. It looks like it's singing a Supreme song.
Oh, God! Fuck, that was sucked.
That would be amazing. Pussy. No,
every porn director in the world just shot up in bed like, our career's done. Our career's over. Our whole industry is shot now.
Sexuality and sexual. No one's come to it.
Children of men too. You just
blasted off an EMP for boners.
It would be an amazing pussy if it sang it. That's some pig.
Feed me, Seymour.
That's what it looks like. You can feed it some dick, and you can do it for 20% off.
Oh, God.
Using the code sexabunda.
Not 20% off your dick.
Not 20%. Are you going to keep your whole dick?
Go use sexabunda. You know what?
I say
dick.
That, but I haven't been over all the product descriptions. I don't know. That's not a guarantee that you keep your whole dick with extremeshades.com, but you can keep a little bit of that do-re-mi for yourself. 20%, in fact, using the coupon code SEXABUNGA. It's all waiting for you at extremerestraints.com.
God, 20% is fucking crazy when you think about how much the people are saving. If you buy $500 worth of those beads that you put in your butt beads, that's $400 you're paying. That's a whole $100 that you can spend on $100 more butt beads, which will in turn get you like $118 more, $18 extra of butt beads.
You could just keep going on this.
It sounds like a pyramid scheme.
Well, no, it's eventually you're going to get diminishing returns, and it's like,
yeah,
Papa, I've got 15 cents worth of butt beads. Butt beads, butt beads, 15 cents for a fraction of butt beads.
There's got to be something on this site I can fuck for a quarter.
Oh my God, there is.
Oh God, there is. ExtremeRestraints.com is a website. They're like the best friends we have in this whole world.
Please be nice to them. Don't scare them away. It's the only friends we've got.
Hey, this is Aaron and Brian from Throwing Shade, and we would love to throw some shade on you this summer.
Every Tuesday, we inject all sorts of news stories concerning ladies and gays with silliness and sexiness.
Just in time for bikini season.
Check us out on Max Fun under Throwing Shade.
Okay, they're not stupid.
No, I know, but yeah, they could
be. Well, why would you spell it out like that?
Well, because I was the spelling bee champion of the world.
Farm wisdom.
Farm wisdom.
Get your fork, it's not a spork. Farm wisdom.
I would like Griffin to read the first one, please.
Here's the first one. I grew up on a racehorse farm. Oh, the most exciting life. I grew up on a racehorse
farm. Welcome to the show, Paul Bear. The late Paul Bear who joined us.
When a veterinarian castrates a racehorse, they throw the detached balls up on the roof of the barn for good luck. Pretty gross. Jesse. Thanks, Jesse.
And I fact-checked that. That's 100%
true. That's 100%
an old wives' tale.
100% fuck you. There's no... doesn't horse sperm sell for, like, hundo thous on...
You castrate a racehorse if it's having behavioral problems.
That's...
And then you have... Like, tell me, though, promise me that if you are going to do this for behavioral problems, you definitely, definitely bring the horse out of the yard and make it
when you
watch.
Throw its balls on the roof.
Hey, come see this.
What? How did this old
this
wives
is what you get for playing in my yard.
Hey, Orb, come watch this. See if it's funny to eat my pocket. Orb, come on.
How did this fucking witchcraft kiss. I can imagine there was just a super lazy veterinary, old timey.
Have you never heard balls on the roof, fast in the hoof?
I'm imagining like an 18th century veterinarian, like,
what do I do with these? They're slippery.
Maybe in the heat of a passionate horse crime, they cut off a horse's balls unwillingly and then had to dispose of the evidence.
Chinkle, chinkle.
Oh, God.
Got his balls. What do we do now?
Oh, fuck.
You gotta tie them on the back of your truck so that they hang comically as though they're the truck's testicles. It's very comical.
Is that the implication?
I believe so.
I'm going to go back when I'm editing the podcast and find the minute mark where Travis said he was going to start adding whiskey to his beverage and then time it out to now. And then we'll know, like, the porousness of his liver. What's the other farm wisdom?
Chickens play dead and fart through their mouths. And that's from Jillian.
It's the best Smiths album. I don't care what anybody says. It is the best.
I don't want to get gross, but if we're talking about, like, just physiological stuff, don't human beings... I have heard things come out of Travis's mouth that I'm, 100% certain was a fart. Undoubtedly. I know you have dyspepsia, and it's a thing you struggle with every day, but I'm saying that your shit's backwards. Do you think chickens play dead because they wish they were dead because they've been farting out their mouths?
Or do you think they played that when someone's like, you smell that? Oh.
Can't be that dead chicken.
You know he's innocent.
Smells like a mouth fart. Couldn't be that guy.
Oh, God, oh, God.
He looks like he's been dead for weeks.
Just go.
I don't want to do it. It's going to taste so bad. Oh, God. I'm just going to pretend I'm dead.
I'd like to see a new version of Charlotte's Web. Maybe the stage production where Charlotte's like, Wilbur, I have to make this web singing your praises so they keep you alive. And then chuckles, the chicken comes on. He's like, bah, 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 kill me. Cluck, 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 cluck. Oh, God.
I was going to take this pig to the county fair, but I got a chicken to mouth farts the alphabet.
I mean, he's famous, but doesn't seem like much of a life.
Hey, I keep finding random sex toys in my yard. I live on a busy street, and over the past year, my wife and I have found multiple simulated penises of varying sizes and styles strewn throughout our yard, some making it as far as our backyard, which is approximately 30 feet from the road. Drew Brees is disposing of a sex is this some new tradition that high schoolers are participating in, like finding porn in the woods, or do I just live in a very kinky neighborhood that's from extremely restrained in Rochester?
Do you know what it is? It's the daily delivery from the Gaper Boy.
Arcade classic.
Gaper Boy thrown in jail for breaking too many windows with giant dicks.
I would just like to see you come out on your lawn and, like, see another one. You look up and you just have that neighbor across the street sipping his coffee with his open robe. He's going, "What's up?
What's up? Check your backyard. Some treats back there.
The worst Easter egg hunt ever."
Uh-huh. He just keeps hoping one of them will find purchase in your soil. Mm-hmm. Blossom.
He'll know. I mean, this sounds... So we started with TPing, right? And then TPing ended up being way too easy to clean up, so then teens started forking. And then I guess that the sort of, like, physical toll that forking takes on you was no longer enough, and so they have now just started putting dicks in the yard. And it's not hard to pick a dick up and, like, throw it away or wash it off in the dishwasher and then put it in your secret drawer in your vegetable taxes box, but I you know, it takes a lot out of your mind when you don't know where it came from. You know what I mean?
I'm a little confused. Like, I don't get the implication of the prank. Like, I put this on your yard. Like, that's it? Like, that's the...
Yeah, but then they have to touch... Then they have to touch it, right? It's like a strange dick. And they have to...
It's definitely a prank, though. We can agree on that. Because there's no way that this is just like, I just live in a neighborhood where people are just throwing dildos everywhere.
Is it possible that this is the 9th long overdue biblical plague?
And it's only you.
And it's only happening to you. It's very concentrated.
Griffin, how about a Yahoo?
Sure. This Yahoo was sent in by Julie Kinn. Thank you, Julie. Julie's been sending us Yahoos for a while. This is her first time on the show. But I think she works at, like, a military base, because each of her emails has the word unclassified attached to it. As if we needed to know, like, this Yahoo about dildos is not a top secret government secret. I am not Snowdening right now. Thank you. Anyway, thank you, Julie. It's by Yahoo.
Did someone mention Schnorder?
Stop
no.
it. It's
no.
by
some
no.
secrets
Yahoo.
To share?
Yahoo Answers user AJ Foxweather, who asks, "All you can eat buffet. Is it worth it? I just want to dine at a place where you can have pizza and tacos and macaroni and cheese and spaghetti in one sitting. But I've never eaten at one of those restaurants before. Is it worth the price to get in? I also hear that these places are unsanitary, and I don't want to get food sickness. Thanks."
Ah, food sickness.
Is it worth it?
I think
financially, yes.
If we're talking about fiscal, like, I don't think it could be more worth it. You're talking.
Yeah, it's a great fiscal deal.
Right. The restaurant you're looking, let's just stop like beating around the bush. They're talking about Golden Corral.
Right. You're not getting all these things at any other place.
Yeah. Golden Corral, whose original subtitle tagline was pizza and tacos and macaroni and cheese and spaghetti and fuck it and fuck you. It is going to be, I don't think that sanitation, I think when you are a chef, right, and you specialize in raw oysters, you work very hard, or sushi, or artisanal pizzas, you work really hard to, like, keep a clean workstation and, like, get shit done. When you have to crank out pizza, tacos, mac, cheese, and spaghetti in one sitting, sanitation becomes less of a concern for you.
Well, I think that your answer to everything becomes, well, fuck it, they can eat something else. Like, hey, your tacos are bad. They should yeah. eat the pizza.
But here, call me naive, but I would like to think that it has to be at least kind of sanitary to remain open. Or do you think just the authorities turn a blind eye because they're like,
I don't think
you go
listen,
there.
They have so much.
Yeah, well, if you go there, you're asking for it. I mean, let's be honest.
I think that Justin had a point wherein that the chefs sort of pick and choose what they give the appropriate time and cleanliness to. Like, you will go to the Golden Buffet and be like, let me get some of that roast rump. And the carver will be like, no, keep going.
Because that carver... sometimes that carver is like a fucking honor guard.
I feel like the carver, I feel like that's where you're going to get your best quality stuff because you can put a face to it. Mm-hmm. If I eat something, it's bad. I go right back to that guy. I'm like, listen,
hey, pal.
Let's sort this out. Buddy.
What's the scoop on the mac and cheese?
We call it the cheddar trough. No, like, what's the story? What's the
you
story behind it?
You don't want
it. Inside
all that. Of this was powder a few minutes ago.
I'll try.
We don't remember making any mac and cheese. We're not sure what that were 2 minutes ago. Yuck.
This Golden Corral is severely haunted. man, that's a fucking cool. Wish I knew that fucking ghost in college. What's up, dudes? Totally getting high, I see. Let me scoop some of this bodacious mac and cheese. Yes, the noodles are in the shape of dinosaurs. It's T-Rex-alicious, my homies.
Now the only thing I require in exchange is your immortal soul.
Well,
give me a case that I can inhabit.
I think it was Golden Corral. There was some YouTube video that made the rounds of this young man who was a whistleblower, the Snowden of roast beef.
Did someone say Snowden of roast beef?
Who filmed a YouTube video of apparently his particular Golden Corral location. I don't want to slander Golden Corral as a whole. It's probably just confined to this one thing. Although we all know that it wasn't. He was pointing out how when they were getting their inspections done, everything that was unseemly, they hid back by the dumpsters, including like one of those food service racks filled with meat, just like chilling by the dumpster. And he brought it back like, I don't think this is okay. I'm making a difference in the world. Like, we know, like, when we cross the threshold of the Golden Corral, we know what we're getting into. We don't need you to put a face to the beef parasites.
Listen, a ship in harbor is safe.
Right, right. A steak in front of me is doing just fine.
A steak in the refrigerator is safe.
A steak,
but a steak on the counter has truly lived.
A steak by the dumpster's safety is questionable. But YOLO.
You know, Sydney My wife is a physician.
Oh, come on. Every fucking... Yeah, let's all fight wives. Is that what you want to do?
Good old-fashioned wife fight.
I want to tell this anecdote. She for one of her rotations, she did health inspections. She went along with people doing them. And at one of our local restaurants, of which I will inform both of you off the air...
Just say it now, I'll cut it out. Fuck me, I love that restaurant.
No!
I've eaten at that restaurant literally 100 times.
It's a hot Mexican restaurant in our area. She goes into the
back. That just narrowed it down to one restaurant in Huntington, West right. Virginia.
She goes into
Chi-Chi's
the back.
Closed.
Yeah.
So.
And there's a...
No, it's not Flapjack Tanapa's, the pancake Mexican restaurant.
That's a real thing in Huntington. Stop by sometime. I'll take you out. She looks in the back, and the health inspector is talking to one of the people there, and they are stirring a giant pot of something with what appears to be a stick. So they ask the person doing the stirring what that is, and what they say is a stick. And they say, is it something you've used for a long time? Is it some sort of, you know, maybe assuming it's some sort of like seasoning or
maybe it's
ritual.
Maybe it's a very tightly bound bundle of sage that's brown.
Right, something like that. And they said, no, we found it in the alley. You wow. cannot fail your health inspector.
That's worse. The worst.
And also, there's a dead guy over there. He's been there for a while.
Why? Pardon me. Pardon me, chef. Sous chef. Why are you made of diapers? Why am I talking to a bundle of diapers with a sharpied face on it?
Friends, thank you so much for spending another hour with us. We certainly appreciate
hour-ish.
You.
Hour-ish. In an hourly
little under. Slightly under. By the time we get to the end,
we'll let's just take a long time to do our chores.
Thank you for spending a union hour with us.
We sure appreciate it.
Fuck.
We hope you had as much fun as we did. Thank you to people tweeting about the show, like Sissy Puss, Feeny, your good pal Charlie, Michaelin AZ, Jack Spirak, Jack Kispizarek, Brock Boland, Green Eyed Girl, Mr. Jellyfish, Alonzo Duralde. If you want to tweet about the show, use the MBMBAM hashtag. We also want to give a huge, massive thank you to Operation Supply Drop and all of you who donated to the package, the care package going out to our friend Tristan the Marine and his buddies over there Afghanistan.
I mean, you guys fucking blew it out of the water.
Oh, my God. They're getting a PlayStation 3, a GameCube, like 20 games, a bunch of...
Four different fucking Pokemon games. These fools are going to have, like, half of all... I think it's 653 Pokemon at this point. They are going to be good to go when X and Y come out, and they are going to they're going to be fully stocked.
Yeah, they're loaded. Thank you to companies like Wizards of the Coast, Sega, Sony.
Now, what's PDP, a Woodger of the Coast?
A Woodger of the Coast, Ubisoft, Activision, Naughty Dog.
Thanks to Richard, who lives on the coast.
And we want to say thank you to just some of the donors who kicked in, like. Here we go. Rachel Borshish, Chad Harrington, James Bronwell, Scott Ackerman, Scott Ackerman, Dimitri Portnoy, Jared Fulton, Will Gallego, Davin Pavlis, Kenneth Underwood, Philip Prochaska, Brady Bird, Joe Rice, Scott Morse, Jansen Truitt, Julia Lawrence, James Hanning. Thank you so much.
Richard Coastman.
Thank you for giving to Tristan. I'm sure he and his buddies really appreciate it, and we appreciate all of you being so super generous.
Tristan, I need you to come home safe. Because you know you're doing the Lord's work over there, and you're protecting us and our freedoms, and we love you for that. But B, you are going to have some super rare Pokemon from Gen 4 that I have been negligent in capturing.
Basically, this care package is estimated before shipping costs of being worth $3,000. You're all like...
So you're rich.
So you're all amazing for kicking in on that, and you're the best, so thank you.
Can I give a shout-out?
Please.
I know this is rare for me, but I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, which you can hear on the album Putting the Days to Bed. I believe it's track 9 or track 10. It's close to the end of the album to close it out. Fuck, that album is so good.
Ugh. Go buy that.
It's so good that it makes me angry to listen to it, you know? Like, why isn't all the music like this?
If you want to head over to the forums, talk about the show, we sure appreciate that. And while you're there, listen to the rest of the Max Fun shows. They're all at MaximumFun.org. Like, Stop Podcasting Yourself, One Bad Mother, Judge John Hodgman, Wham Bang Pow, a hit medical podcast called Sawbones that I do with my wife, Sydney, who's a physician, as you know.
God and damn it!
Curator of the Alley Stick that I am assuming she confiscated.
She's not going to shut that fucking... I need that restaurant in my life.
I mean, I need it too. This mystery restaurant that I won't tell anybody about. And if you're in Huntington and you want to know, just as far just so you know, I'm going to continue to eat there and have several times I heard this story.
Because,
so
and we're going to continue to drop hints there. You can get drunk there for like $3.50 and you can eat chimichangas the size of your forearm. Anyway,
and if you would like a message right up there along with our sponsors, Extreme Restraints, then just go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron and you can have a personal message or a business message. Or if you have a company that would like to sponsor the show, then come on down.
Next week's episode will be a little late because Griffin will be touring Germany, I believe it is.
It's Germany next week. Yeah.
Germany next week, and so we'll be a little late, so we apologize in advance, but we'll still get right back with you, presumably with a very jet-lagged Griffin, which should be hysterical. And thank you so much for listening to our program.
If you live in Germany and want to hang, super big country, so don't even, I would say probably don't bother. I'm probably not going to put in the effort. I'm just being honest, it's a super big country, and I like don't understand any of the languages there. Like German.
Regardless, Griffin, do you have a last question for everybody?
Yeah, I have a final one. It was sent in by Ryan Steiner. Thank you, Ryan. It's by Yahoo Answers user Gisela Juarez, who asks, have fear to be touched for bald persons?
This has been my brother and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.